praise God. All right, 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings 11. And reading verse 41. 1 Kings 11, 41. We're going to the book of Acts. But it's not the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of Solomon. And the rest of the Acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? Now that's not a book in the Bible. It's one of those documents that was lost. There are several others that are mentioned in Scripture that are not included. That's okay. There's more in the Word of God that we could find about the Acts of Solomon. You may be seated. Now, as far as his service to God, I would think, well, there's probably several things that Solomon is remembered for, but I always think of the temple when I think of Solomon, as far as the good things of his service to the Lord. The temple. David purposed and prepared for that temple, but we know he was not allowed to build. He desired to build. It was something that he wanted to do, but he was not selected, and his son was. But I like the way David nonetheless prepared for the building of the tabernacle, or the temple rather. 1 Chronicles 22 and 5, he makes mention of Solomon's youth and inexperience and how the building of the Lord must be exceeding magnificent. It was to be something that would a great fame and glory would be mentioned throughout all the countries. And David said, I will therefore make preparation. And oh my, did he ever. David prepared abundantly. It wasn't haphazard. It wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't just something that he did as a hobby. He obviously focused on it, made it a priority, and determined that Solomon, his son, was going to be enabled in a great way to complete the construction of the temple. And God gave direction for Solomon to be the one. And 1 Chronicles 28 and 6, again, the Lord is giving David instruction. Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him. And note that the choice is not just for a construction project. The choice was to be my son, and I will be his father. So a relationship that emerged from this choice, as well as a man committed to build the tabernacle. And again, David makes mention of his preparation, 1 Chronicles 29 and 2, I have prepared with all my might. He made preparation abundantly. Now he testifies, with all my might, I have prepared the house of my God. I like the way one generation is looking out for the next generation with the expectation that the next generation is going to exceed the work of that generation. Amen. Now, there's a passage in Acts that says David served his own generation by the will of God. And obviously, he did so to the best of his ability. And we know that David, being a man, had failings and mistakes and so on. But not so with the preparation of the temple. The gold and the silver, the brass and the iron, the wood and the stone, precious stones, marble. All of this not readily available, not just around the corner, not just in the next hill, but had to be transported a great distance. And then verse 3 of 1 Chronicles 29, David gave over and above. Huh. That's pretty good giving. Say over and above. That's what David gave in preparation for the temple, the holy house of God. Over and above. No wonder the blessings of the Lord were upon him. Amen. And no wonder Solomon then was the one who was selected to be able to construct this temple. And there's encouragement that David would give. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 10, he reinforced this idea that the Lord had chosen him. The Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Yeah. Praise God. Just a real straightforward encouragement and command. Verse 20 of that same chapter. Be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Yeah. And that's how that he determined to pass this command on to his son Solomon. And more from verse 20. God will be with you and will not fail you nor forsake you until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. That's a good encouragement. Praise God. And that all adds up to or contributes to the success of Solomon. How that it was not just something, again, approached haphazardly and when I have time or I've got other things that I'm going to do and we'll get back to it. No, that was not the Solomon's approach. Remember, he asked the Lord for wisdom and an understanding heart. The Lord had appeared to Solomon in that dream and offered him an open-ended request. That's quite a situation there. And Solomon did ask for that understanding heart to be able to judge and discern the people that he was to be king over, and this pleased the Lord. Some of your requests can please the Lord. Maybe some of them don't. We got to make sure we're praying the will of God and qualify all of our prayers with, Lord, let your will be done. Amen. God gave him a wise and understanding heart and gave him the things that he didn't ask for. He didn't ask for honor. He didn't ask for fame. He didn't ask for riches and so on. But the Lord gave him all of those things and then said, there's going to be no king like you. And certainly he was prolific in praise and in Proverbs. 1,005 Proverbs? Wow. Or songs, rather. 1,005 songs. 3,000 Proverbs. Quite a writer. How many quills did he wear out with that? How many ink bottles had to be filled? Wow, that's quite an undertaking. But now, Solomon building the temple, that was the important thing. He assembled the craftsmen. He gathered even more materials. He completed it. He consecrated it. 120 priests were there for that consecration. The musician and singers were as one. And the Bible said they were to make one sound of praise to thank the Lord. Thank God for unity. Yes, unity. Amen. The musicians and singers were as one to make one sound of praise. And the house was filled with a cloud of glory. Yes. 120 priests could not minister because the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. I'm glad I read in the Bible where there's another 120 that were assembled together, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Amen. The Spirit of God came in that upper room in Acts chapter 2, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Oh, what a glorious infilling. Solomon gave a prayer of dedication, and the Lord answered right on the spot. He answered by fire. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. I always wonder, what did that fire appear like? What did it sound like when it's coming from heaven, when it alights upon the altar and everything begins to get burned up? The fire of Elijah, and how incredible that fire was to evaporate the blood and the water, to burn up the wood and the sacrifice, and to burn the stones and the dust. What did that fire sound like? What did it look like? Praise God. But the Lord answered by fire, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night again. He let him know, I've heard your prayer. I've chosen this place. And then he gave him that command, or that promise: if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's a few steps, isn't it? Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Praise God. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 is certainly timely today, especially on post-election time, when we're seeking and desiring the face of the Lord, the hand of God in our country and in our midst. Praise God. I believe the Lord is interested. I believe he wants to bless. Thank God. Thank the Lord that we can call upon his name. Hallelujah. And let ourselves be humbled, because we need him. Without him, we can do nothing. We pray, we seek his face, we desire him. Amen. And turn from wicked ways. Unbelief is a wicked way. Doubt is a wicked way. Whatsoever is not of sin, or faith is of sin, the Bible says. So I turn from those things, as well as things that would be a easily besetting sin. Things that are so easy to creep in to our lives and our hearts and our minds and become things of sin. The Lord promises, I'll hear, I'll forgive, I'll heal. Praise God. Incredible promise. Solomon continued to build in the kingdom. He made silver to be as stones in the street. That's something. And 1 Kings 9 and 19 are just a glimpse of the greatness of his kingdom, the cities of store that Solomon had, cities for his chariots, cities for his horsemen. We're not just talking about stables, we're talking about cities. That's how great his kingdom was. And that which Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem and in Lebanon, and on all the land of his dominion, it just continued to grow, continued to increase. And other dignitaries heard of it. The Queen of Sheba, she visited. She had heard of the wisdom of Solomon, and she came with hard questions. She came with the idea, let's see if he can answer this. And Solomon answered them all. Praise God. And she said, it's a true report of Solomon's acts and his wisdom. The half was not told me. Praise God. Thank the Lord that's our experience oftentimes in our search for the Lord, in our desire for the things of God. And we come to him and experience him. And we hear the testimonies of others, and then we recognize, oh my, this is far greater than anything I even dreamed about. Praise God. And certainly Solomon's wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame that she had heard of him. Praise God. And Solomon's annual collection of gold, I saw this and I thought, that's interesting. His annual collection of gold, 666. What is that? I'm sure there would be people that would make a big deal out of that. I just thought, wow, that's a lot of gold. He made shields of gold. And later on, Rehoboam, his son, lost those shields of gold, but he said, I'll just replace them with brass shields. How brazen is that? Didn't matter, so what? Oh well, the glory of the kingdom. Doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Don't let the devil take things away from you. Amen. And then if he does, don't try to replace him with something of lesser value. Amen. Do what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek his face. Turn from wicked ways. Amen. And let the Lord do that work. See, because it's important how we build. Everybody say, we build. Because the foundation is already established. You don't have to worry about that. Jesus is that foundation. He's the chief cornerstone. Isaiah 28 and 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He's emphasizing this aspect of stone. It's not clay, it's not mud, it's not something that's going to be unsettled. It's a stone. Praise God. A sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste or be confused or be someone who is struggling and having a difficult time. No, he's a tried stone. He's a sure foundation. Praise God. Psalm 118. The Lord made reference to it. The apostles made reference to it. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Praise God. I'm glad the Lord's work is marvelous. Amen. Marvelous. That's what the Lord does. Praise God. And when the apostles quoted that in Acts chapter 4, Peter went on to say, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the foundation. Praise God. Acts 4 and 12 is such a powerful verse to help us to understand where salvation is. And it's given to us, given among men. You don't have to go and search and seek and explore and try to find it. It's there. The power of God through his name. So, no other foundation, okay? 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is that foundation. Ephesians 2 and 20. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. In other words, the word of God. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Praise God. I'm glad there's a foundation. I'm glad I don't have to worry about it. Amen. In Pennsylvania, they had a beautiful, nice city hall. And brand new. They were so proud of it, and that little town. I can't remember the name of the town. But pretty soon, they began to notice faults. structural damage. Things not, doors not opening and so on, not functioning right. And then the whole building fell into a sinkhole. Oops. The foundation, maybe they thought it was a good foundation, but underneath, I don't know if it was an old coal mine or what, but they lost what they had built. You build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, you're not gonna lose. Amen. You're not gonna lose. Praise God. The Lord's gonna provide. But now, Paul, as he continues in 1 Corinthians 3, again, he's admonishing how you build is very important now. How you determine what you're going to do. The choice of materials, he said, wood, hay, and stubble. Yeah. Then the other choice is gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, obviously, he's using an analogy here. We don't see too many houses built out of gold, silver, and precious stone. What he's saying is there's going to be a trial by fire. Fire is going to try your work. In other words, it's going to be tested to see if it's going to last. If you build with wood, hay, and stubble, you know, immediately, up it goes in flames. But if you build with gold, silver, and precious stones, it will continue on and won't burn. You'll have your reward. If it does burn, wood, hay, and stubble, you'll suffer loss, but you'll be saved. Amen. So this is actually a determination of reward. This is actually judgment on your works to determine the reward. How do you build? That's important. And God help us to be able to grasp there what is necessary. Now, right after Paul makes reference of how you build, take heed how you build, and he lists the materials, and he says it's going to be tested by fire. He goes right into, don't you know you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? He moves right into this temple thing that we just spent some time understanding and recognizing. Solomon used all of the materials that his father David had collected, plus he gathered even more and spent 7 years in that construction project. And so Paul went from building the foundation to the temple. You are the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:16. He emphasized it again to the Corinthians. Now see, they were having some problems here with separation. They needed to understand the relationship that they had entered into now with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? That's an interesting way for him to phrase that. What? Don't you know? See, they were having trouble stepping away from their carnal lifestyles that the Lord had rescued them from. They were having trouble stepping back from sin that had been pretty much what they just ran wild in. And if you read Corinthians, you see some of the things that they allowed themselves to sink to, not rise to, but sink to. And Paul is trying to emphasize, understand, the Spirit of God is in you. The Spirit of the Lord is what you have. God dwells in you. Now go back to the tabernacle Exodus 25 and 8, the Lord says, I will dwell among them. Solomon's temple, 1 Kings 6 and 13, I will dwell among the children of Israel and not forsake my people Israel. 1 Corinthians 3:16, the one we just referenced here, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, yes. The power of God that is within you. Don't take that temple then and desecrate it. Don't defile it. Don't make a mess of it. And this is what Paul is emphasizing in 2 Corinthians 6 and 16 when he talks about the temple being the temple of the living God, and the Lord is saying, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Based on that relationship, based on how you have become the temple of the Lord. I go back to 1 Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Whoa. That's pretty strong. But yet the world has become so casual about this. God is love, amazing grace. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. In the Greek, defile means to spoil by any process or to ruin, especially by moral influences, to deprave. And that's exactly the problem that the Corinthian church had. That's exactly the problem that modern Western civilization has. Same problem. Same excuses. Same moving right along. Doesn't matter. This is the way we've always lived. These are the things we've always done. No, you've got the Spirit of God in you. There's a difference now. There's a change now. The hand of God in your life. A holy temple unto the Lord. Amen. Thank God. Together, the unity brings strength. Together is emphasized in Ephesians 2 and 21. We're fitly framed together. And we grow into a holy temple in the Lord. There's that growing. There's that increase. There's that maturity. There's that moving ahead of what God expects. Then in verse 22, we're builded together to be a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's why there's a change. That's why we don't continue in the ways that we were. Repentance means a change, a complete change. Change in your mind, change in your mouth, change in your appearance, change in your lifestyle, change in your priorities, change in your choices, change in your schedule, change in your spending habits. There's change. And the change is good. Amen. A habitation of God. Our world's so concerned about habitat. Well, I suppose we should be concerned about planet Earth. It's the only one we got. Should be, but that I'm not going to be overly concerned about that. I want to be a habitation of God. Habitat, good, we'll take care of it, but I want to be a habitation of God through the Spirit. Praise God. And let godliness and holiness become exemplified in my life. Amen. Because that's what God wants to do. We read about the temple being defiled, and it's hard to, I have a hard time reading some of those passages that they actually offered sacrifice to idols in the tabernacle, or in the temple, rather. In the temple. How in the world did that happen? They defiled it. Lord, help us not to make those mistakes of defiling our temple. Amen. But let the power of God be displayed in us and through us. Godliness with its power. Holiness with its beauty. Praise God. That's how the Bible describes it. The world may laugh about it. The world may think that that's funny. They ridicule it and persecute it and oppose it and so on. But God's word says holiness is beautiful. God's word says godliness is powerful. Amen. And that's what we're going to hold on to. Praise God. All right. Patmos for the Apostle John, as he's recording the chapters of Revelation. Patmos is a long ways from Jerusalem. A long ways from the temple. But he could remember. I remember when Peter and I were on our way to the temple at the hour of prayer. And I remember looking at that lame man sitting there begging. And I remember Peter saying, "Look on us." And he looked, expecting to receive. And oh, did he ever receive? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Praise God. And the Lord in his power displayed healing miracles in that moment. John could recall other miracles. The trip down to Samaria with Peter, the other times that he spent with that apostle. But now here's John all by himself in that prison aisle of Patmos, and the Spirit of God's talking to him. Praise God. Did he pout? Did he carry on? Did he give up? No. He said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Praise God. How were you in the Spirit, John? Did you have a good worship team? Did the music sound good? Did they sing the choruses you like? No, horrible circumstances that he was in. Difficulties beyond imagination. But that didn't stop him. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Praise God. And at the end of his writing there, he said, "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem." Praise God. "And I heard a great voice." Revelation 21 and 3. "I heard the great voice. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Wow. And that's forever. No interruptions, nor carnality to ignore, no lies to have to filter. No, nothing that defiles enters in there. Praise God. Amen. Forever with the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Oh, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. That's where we wanted to be. That's where we want to hold on to the things of God. That's where we want to recognize God's taking us. Praise God. I want to be there. Amen. Amen. Many of our loved ones, many of our fellow laborers, many have already made it. Praise God. We have treasures in heaven. And oh, I want to make it. Thank the Lord. Let's come for a moment of prayer here. Praise God. Let's determine we're going to build. Amen. We're going to see the hand of God in operation in our lives. We're going to be committed to him. Amen. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to walk with him. We're going to please him. In Jesus' name, let's call on the Lord together right now. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we praise you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. Jesus, we lift up your name. Hallelujah. Thank you for calling us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. Thank you for cleaning our hearts up, Lord, for cleaning our minds up. Thank you, Lord God, for forgiving us, Lord.